find a lot of pastors are struggling, and they may have a lot of people attending. When I say pastors are struggling, I don't mean they got a small church. I mean they've got big churches, large congregations, but they are struggling. They're struggling in their marriage. They're struggling with their kids. Their kids can't stand them. Their wife can't stand them. I'm just telling you the truth. That's just how it is. And so even though we have a small church, I am so glad that I have a wife that loves me. She doesn't have to sit here on the front row and pretend that she likes me. we have great relationship with all three of our sons. None of our sons hate their parents because they are one way at church and another way at home, and they see their parents as being the biggest hypocrites in the church. I'm not boasting about me and Carol. I'm just talking about I'm very grateful, very thankful for what we have. And I think many people are discovering that around Harrisburg and around the United States, that don't be led by just the gifts and the talents and the hoopla and the hype. You know, really find out what these people's life is really, really like. You know, that's just the truth. And so you'll find that most of us who have small congregations, we've got some solid relationships. And I've learned now since being here in Harrisburg that part of the reason why a congregation will remain small for a long time is because God wants us to get to know each other. He doesn't just want us to just grow real fast and then we become what you guys have heard me call a performing arts center. A lot of ministries are that today. They can gather together. And a performing arts center is basically this. You come every week for a performance. You come every week to get entertained. There's going to be singing. There's going to be dancing. There's going to be, some dramatic presentations. And the pastor's going to speak, and we're going to leave inspired and everything. And then we rehearse all the next week for the next performance. And in the midst of all of that, there's no real relationship. People really don't know each other. They really don't even like each other. that's just the real. And I know you can't get to know every single person in a church. That's impossible. I mean, humanly and social, I mean, even in sociologically, it's impossible to get to know every single person in a church. That's just not going to happen. But we can at least develop some relationships and some sense of family. And that's what we're about. And so sometimes when people come to Urban Life Church, we're so close and we talk and, you know, we joke and laugh and all of that. And so if people are not ready for that, sometimes they kind of like, oh, man, I don't want to go to that church because they all like right in your face and all up in your business. And y'all know we ain't trying to be. Just look around at each other. We ain't trying to be in each other's business. But that's what family is about. And we fight, we disagree, and we have our arguments and disagreements and all that kind of stuff. But it ain't got to bust up the whole church. Because you think me and my wife agree on every single thing? But what you learn how to do is, like, we got these differences. And you work it through. Man, I don't know how I got started on this. This must be necessary for the day. Hey, everybody watching this online. I'm Pastor Kristen going off again. but it's important, I believe, because what has to happen in today's world, in the church world, I think that God wants us to have good, solid relationships here so that when we invite people into this community, they come into a place where you can just be yourself. They don't have to try to pretend that they're something else. They don't have to try to fit in with us. We just accept them like they are. And on my job, this was just Friday, the people on my job, they just got into this real deep conversation because there was nothing to do Friday. This Friday was one of those kind of times where as the day wore on, the phone stopped ringing. Y'all know how that happens sometimes on your job. Those of you who don't have jobs like that, I'm so sorry. So the phone stopped ringing, and people just sit around and start talking. And they start talking about deep stuff, like what do you know, what are each other feels about in vitro fertilization, and if rather technology is moving beyond the plans of God, and how, and is technology trying to replace God, and somehow they got all into abortion, they got into homosexuality, and I'm just sitting there and I'm just listening. I ain't saying a word, because, you know, the word then already got out on my job that I am a pastor. So I didn't say a word, not a word, not anything. I'm just sitting in my cubicle listening to all these people talking. But one young lady got offended at the conversation. In fact, one person said, well, I believe that all homosexuals are going to hell. And so this young lady just got upset and she just walked away from the conversation. And they all got quiet, and then they tried to continue conversation talking, and the person tried to explain what they were really trying. I'm not saying God doesn't love homosexuality. I'm just saying that, you know, sin is sin, and sin's going to cause you to go to hell. I wasn't targeting homosexuality. He was trying to explain his point and all of that, and again, I ain't saying nothing. On purpose, I'm not saying a word, because they know I'm a pastor. They know I'm a minister, and so they... And I could feel those moments when they're waiting for me to add my point of view. Didn't say a word. And I waited till the very end of the day, and two of the young ladies were still talking about what had happened. And so I walked by and I said, Carol, come down to my cubicle. And I said, 100 years ago, me and my wife used to be youth pastors. And we used to let young people engage and talk like you guys were doing today. And I said, that's really good. I said, because it's important for you to not just simply believe what your parents taught you or what your church taught you. You got to really wrestle with this stuff and really develop your faith for what you really believe, not just from what somebody told you. And they said, feel free to join in one of these conversations anytime. And then you see why I waited.
Yeah.
You wait until you're invited into the conversation. And I'm finding that the reason why I brought that up is because I'm finding that that's where our real ministry is. It's in the real world. You'll find that people are talking about spiritual stuff. People are talking about what we may phrase as religious things. They really are. And they are searching. Even though I listened to their conversation, even though each person was stating their point, they weren't stating it so emphatically and dogmatically that nobody in the group could change my mind. Right. It was basically, if you could present another argument or something, another way for me to look at it, then I'll consider that. And I know that we in this community, I'm going to talk specifically about us here in Urban Life Church, we must learn how to engage the world without trying to push what we understand and what we believe on them so strongly that we drive them away. We must learn to listen to people. If you listen to them, you'll discover that they really aren't saying, I believe this no matter what. What they're saying is, this is what I understand these things to mean. And if you can present something else that will make me think, I'll consider that. And we're so, yeah, but Jesus is coming any second, and you need to give your life to God now, because tomorrow's not promised. And the only thing you're doing is driving them further away. You'll find in the book of Acts, chapter 17, the Apostle Paul was engaged with a bunch of really, really smart people. In fact, it was part of the culture of that day. They would get together and debate and talk, just like the folks on my job were, present their different philosophies and beliefs and all of that. It was just part of the culture. And so he stepped into the conversation. Excuse me, I'd like to have something to say. And so they said, well, let's see what this country hick, backwoods person got to say, because they figured, you know, they are the we're the intellectuals, and whatever this guy's got to say, okay, let's just see. And he said, as I was walking through your city, I noticed that you guys are very religious. And this was what we think of In fact, you can still go to go to Greece now and go to that parts of the world, and you'll see all these different monuments and statues to the various gods. In elementary school and high school in America, we're taught Greek and Roman mythology, but for these people, it's not mythology. This stuff was real. You know, when you go see the movies, Clash of the Titans and all that kind of stuff, well, for them, this stuff is real. It's not just movie special effects and great stories. No, they believe this the same way we believe Jesus came to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, lived, died on the cross, rose again for our sin. They believe this stuff. Jupiter, Mars, Venus, the gods, the Titans. They believe this. And so Paul said, as I was walking through your city, I noticed that you got all kinds of monuments and statues around acknowledging these different gods. But I also noticed that you got this one monument that says to the unknown God. Because in their mindset and in their world, this is why they believe. There's so many gods and so many things that we're trying to acknowledge. Then we still realize that we're humans and there's still, we may be leaving something or somebody out. So we're just going to build a monument to whatever God or being or entity that we don't even know of. Because we done tried to cover them all. The God of the moon and the stars and the grass and God of sex and God of agriculture. We've tried to cover everything. But if there's something else that we forgot or we don't even know about, we've got a monument and it says to the unknown God. And so Paul says, I want to talk to you about that one. Because it's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. He's the one that created everything. He said, even your own poets and songwriters have written about him. See, what was Paul doing? He was talking and communicating to that generation the way they understood. He didn't come to say, all y'all are wrong. He just simply said, I notice that in all the stuff that you believe, you've left room for the possibility that there's something else that you don't know or that you may not be aware of. And so I want to talk to you about that possibility. And you receiving and grabbing hold of that. And so what I'm saying to us is, in our modern day time today, that's what we must learn to do. Well, we're so confident in God. And that's why we meet like we do each week. That's why we gather and we pray and we sing these songs and we get encouraged. And that's why we provide all those mountain stacks of DVDs and CDs and all the stuff that's on the website so that you can get confident. Many of you know, on your jobs, they train you. And the part of the reason for the training, well, part of the main reason for the training is so that you have confidence in what you're doing. So if you encounter something that you weren't necessarily prepared for, you still know what to do. That's why the intense training. So if a question comes up and a supervisor isn't around and there's nobody else, at least you still know how to have enough critical thinking to figure it out. That's the purpose of training. Well, that's what the Word of God does for us. We get so rooted and grounded in the Word of God that when we encounter things that we weren't prepared for, don't know what to do, I can still always fall back on my training. Then those songs come back. Our God is greater. We win, we win, we win. And so Paul shows us today in our modern day time how to, with our training, with the confidence that God has given us, how to engage people in everyday life. Not with dogma, y'all all going to hell. But start off with such things as, I always keep referring back to when I first met Bobby. She's new on the job. So somebody new on the job shows up. Nobody else spoke to them or said hi or nothing, then we as believers, be the first person to welcome the new person on the job. Hey, how you doing? Don't be deep. I could have come off on her. Like, I understand that some pastors have. They are pastors, and so they want everybody on the job to know that they're pastors. I really wonder how far I would have gotten with Bobby if I had come up and said, my name is Pastor Christopher Green, and I pastor Urban Life Church, and I just like to invite you to come to one of our services because you look like you need the Lord. I wonder how far I would have gotten with you, Bobby, if I had done that, not with what she was going through. So what God needs is believers to just step up and say, hey, my name is Chris. Is everything okay? You look like you're having a hard time. You don't have to hit them with, did you know that we have to demonstrate the gospel? That's really what it really means. And he said, but the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospels, make disciples. And so we think make disciples means make them be disciples. But it doesn't mean make them follow you. You can't, a disciple just simply means follower. And the way that you, what he means by make disciples is live in such a way that they want what you want. And even where Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That word preach means two things. It means to declare it. Here's some part that many don't know. It actually means first and foremost to demonstrate it. It means to demonstrate and declare the gospel. And doesn't mean go out and set up a podium, get on a bullhorn, carry a big sign and tell everybody to repent and you go to hell. That's not the gospel. I need to tell you that. The gospel is not, y'all need to repent because you're going to hell. The gospel is not, let me say it to everybody online. The gospel is not, y'all going to hell, you need to repent. Because the word gospel means good news. So how is that good news? You're going to hell. The good news is, in spite of whatever's going on in your life, God cares. He loves you. He cares. And he demonstrated his love in that he came to this world and he died in our place because Satan desired for us to be, you know, to be destroyed and for us to go to hell with him. And God provided a way for us to be connected with him, with our Heavenly Father. And that connection was Jesus Christ. The good news is you don't have to live the rest of your life trying to be good enough to make it into heaven. I think that's good news. But the way, come on, bless the Lord. But the thing that leads us up to that good news, leads a person up to the point where you can even declare that good news to them, is the way Paul approached those folks. Just, I see that y'all are really religious. It's okay to tell people, I see that you really do think about spiritual stuff. I'm not trying to teach you how to manipulate people. I live by this adage. I forgot where I heard it from first, but I adopted this for the rest of my life, and it's this. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. Let me say it again. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so as long as we're trying to preach how much we know, and that's why we keep getting a response we get here in Harrisburg. People have been overrun with how much people know. But what I need to know is, do you care about me? You care about what's going on in my life? Before you tell me about your God and your Jesus, do you even care about me? Or am I just another notch in your belt? Because you know, I know that every time one of y'all wins a soul for Jesus, you know, you get another notch in your crown. So am I just another notch for you? Can't tell you how many people have. We took a survey in our home church back in St. Louis many years ago because we weren't doing a very good job of this, and we came to that realization. We took a survey of how people felt after they gave their hearts to the Lord, how our church was treating them. And this response was astounding. It was shocking. It was humbling. for us on the ministerial staff to find out that how people really felt was, before I gave my heart to the Lord, y'all were real nice and you were sweet and loving. But after I got saved, then y'all threw on all these rules on me and all these regulations and all these restrictions. And there was no more love and care and concern for me. It seemed after I got became a member of this church, it was all about how much y'all knew, not about how much you cared. So we had to change and put the emphasis on people want to know how much you care. Why am I saying this to us today? And the Lord has totally interrupted everything that I plan to talk about, and my notes are again discarded. Why is this important for us today? Am I saying don't talk about Jesus? Don't talk about Jesus and don't try to win souls? No, what I'm saying to you is let your life tell the story. I think about Jen. I'm telling all y'all business today and all the stories for the people watching. Jen says she watched Bobby change. It wasn't Bobby preaching Jesus, 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 Jesus on her. She watched her life. Did Bobby live a perfect life? Go ahead, Bobby said, no. But what she did was she watched her change. It's astounding to me that when we look at how God is leading us in our lives, when Tracy first came, she wasn't interested in being in no church where it's just the same old stuff. In fact, like she in her own words, she had told her, she and her daughter were ready that in case these people showed the slightest bit of indifference, the slightest little bit of, you know, I'm not welcome here, then we out. I'm sure she had been through many times of sitting through an entire 2-hour service just being polite when I know I'm ready to get out of here. So she had made up her mind she wasn't even going to be polite. If we wasn't right, she was gone. And what caught her attention wasn't even, we hadn't preached, hadn't said a word. She hadn't heard my sermons. She hadn't heard what our beliefs were about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And she didn't hear none of that. Thing that caught her attention was she walks into a room and there's a black man with his two sons. And the black man just said, hi. Glad to see you. Welcome. And let me add the rest. And the black man wasn't looking her up and down to check her out. Hey, what's up? Then when the man's wife came in, the man's wife didn't first look at her and go, what you doing here in this room by yourself with my husband and my sons? But she just, hey. And then his mother-in-law, which already speaks volumes, that the mother-in-law, now we know all the stories about mothers-in-law, but the mother-in-law embraced her. Before we said one word, before we preached anything, before we sung one song, what we had to show was how much we cared. Now, what she didn't know is on the flip side, was that we had lost so many people and lost so many relationships. We was just so glad when anybody walked in the door, welcome. But that's what we learn about some of the stuff that we've been through. Maybe I'll close with this. A lot of the crazy things that you're going through in your life is going to help you to be compassionate with somebody else. She didn't know we was hurting so bad. Bobby didn't know that at the time we invited her to our home, we was hurting so bad. We were so disappointed. We had started off in a building, an uptown, and some people were supposed to come and join with us. You know, when we moved here, we were expecting to start off with about 100 people. And it did not happen. It went from bad to worse. We end up losing that. losing everything. But in spite of what we were feeling and what we were going through, we still had to keep reaching out and loving other people. And so out of that hurt and that pain, maybe that's what the Lord is talking and teaching us about this today. In spite of your own hurt and pain and what you're going through, you're going to find that God can use you when you just go ahead and reach out to other people. Don't wait for people to reach out to you. I'm hurting myself. I need somebody to minister to me. Yes, you do. But you're going to reap whatever you sow. So if you start sowing, I care for somebody else in spite of what I'm going through, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start receiving some love and some care. So the message of Jesus Christ is not just speaking the words, you need to get saved, you need to give your heart to the Lord. The message is, I care about what's going on in your life. And you'll be surprised to discover in later years how much God was really, really using you. It has always astounded us. That's the reason why when you guys are like during the anniversary times and you're giving testimonies of how God used me and Carol and our sons in your life, part of the main reason why we're saying, no, y'all don't give us credit. We ain't just being polite. You know why we're saying that? Because at the time, sometimes we was mad, we was hurt, we was in grief because of the different things, people that have died back in St. Louis that we were close to, we wasn't feeling it. There were times we come and we gather and we lead you in worship, and probably sometimes you wonder, why is the pastor and them just crying so much today while they're worshiping? Because we're trying to get through. We're trying to press forward. We're just trying to, all we're saying is what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. There are times when you keep pushing after God, no matter how painful it is for you. You keep reaching out and touching other people, no matter what you're going through yourself. There were so many times when we later discovered how God was using us. And I'm saying this to you because I want you to understand that's how God wants to use you here in Harrisburg. The bulk of your ministry, and I dare say it, your ministry. When I say that, I don't mean you're going to get a ministerial license. And again, please don't go get no bullhorn and get a big repent sign and walk around Harrisburg. But the bulk of your ministry is going to be in your family, with your family members, with your coworkers, with your classmates, as you just simply show some concern, some consideration for what they're going through. I understand Juanita is known for this on her job. A person who's not just talking about the Lord, but showing love and concern for what other people are going through. She was shocked. She told us some of the stories. I know she was shocked by the people who showed love for her when they heard about her sister's passing. She was surprised by the love and concern that was shown by some of her coworkers. But what you may not have realized is that they were just simply reciprocating, giving back to you what you had been giving to them all those weeks and months when they were going through and you didn't even know it. So when your time came, they was like, oh, we got to. Because that's how it is. People will give back what you've been giving to them. But you weren't even doing it for that reason. You just want them to get saved. I want them to come into the loving knowledge of Jesus. But the way to get them there is to love them. To express it just in everyday life. You and my life will constantly be the sermon. Paul put it this way. Some people have been challenging his authority and his right to preach the gospel and minister the way he was. What authority did he have? And so he told some folks, he wrote them, and he said, "You are my letters of commendation. You are the proof of the validity of my ministry. You are living letters," he said, "read and known by all men." I want you to know that you are a living letter. That's what you are. What many people will come to know about God, they're going to come to know through your life. Not just through your words, but through your life. I didn't plan to say all of this today, and I'll stop right here. But I feel just a sense of the Holy Spirit. As you know, we've been talking about rebuilding the walls and the gates around the city. And it seems that in this place, it seems that we're just in a position where God really is speaking to our hearts and dealing with us about how we're representing him in this city. It's not important that Urban Life has 100 members, 200, 300 members, thousands of members. It doesn't mean anything if we're just another performing arts center. What has to happen is Harrisburg must be impacted by a people that know God. Not that deep, "I got this special relationship with God and nobody else can attain it." No, just when I say people that know God, all that simply means is people who recognize when God is talking to them, so that when he says little things, and I don't mean you hear an audible voice, but you just kind of have that feeling like you hear some bad news about somebody on the job, and you get that feeling like you have this thought, "Go and get him a card." "Well, nobody on the job ever done." "Well, that's the administrator's job." "No, just you take it on. Go and get him a card." I had a boss that hated me. She hated me. Again, somebody who found out I was a minister, and out of whatever negative experience that she had had in the past, she let it off on me. She used to talk to me so bad that other people on the floor were coming to me and say, "Chris, does she realize that you're an adult?" It was that bad. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I handled it all that well, because I would be sitting there fuming. And and it had all the dynamics there, y'all. It was a white woman and a black man. White woman talking down to a black man. So all that implies, male, female, black, white, all of it. And so there are times when I just have to keep remembering, okay, all right, I need this job. So I can't just get up and walk out. Because it'd be like, y'all understand that. There are some times where you're just like, "Peace, I'm out." But then about an hour later, you'd be like, "What did I just do?" "I do not have to take this. I'm a grown man." Then you think about it afterwards and go, "I didn't, all that I said, I didn't." But over the course of time, one day she came in and slammed her door and there's again another one of those moments, just like it was with you, Bobby. Lord's like, "Go and say, I don't want to see what's wrong with her. Go say something." Go, "I don't want to care what's wrong with her." So I go knock on the door, go in, and she's sitting at her desk crying. And it turns out she had just gotten news that a really close friend of hers had died. So I couldn't, you know, it's just one of those shocking moments. You walk in and your boss looks up, and you know, it's just you know how on Facebook y'all put on there, you know, the awkward moment when, it was one of those. The awkward moment when your boss looks up with tears streaming down and eyes red, and what do you say in the moment? "I'm so sorry, what happened?" And she tells me, "I'm so sorry, my condolences." And so then the Lord's like, "Go a step further." "What?" So
Told me, dropped his thought. Me and my wife, we went and bought her a condolence card. And we both signed it. Didn't even add no extra words. Just left the card as it was. Didn't put no scriptures or nothing on it. Just left the condolence card like it was and just put our names on it. When she came back from a bit of leave of absence, a couple of days, came back, and she was completely different toward me. Totally, completely changed. Even to the point where she became a tremendous advocate for me. She put in for a promotion for me and got it. I ended up with my pay increasing 2 grades, 2 levels, and then the state put in the salary freeze is right after that. When she left the job, she hugged me. There's one of those. And expect. Y'all know. Where that come from? Okay. Wow. With all the issues and problems that she had with everybody. She was one of those kind of bosses. Everybody had an issue with her. Everybody had a problem with her. And she had a problem with them. And the only person she liked ended up being the first person that she once hated. And it was me. What turned it around? You just do what God says in the moment. Not a sermon. Just some concern. Well, what about a soul? How you know if she's going to get saved or not? The Bible puts it this way. Paul said it. He said, one plants, another waters. God gives the increase. For us, all we could do was plant that seed. The seed may just have been something as simple as all pastors are not the same. In her journey toward the Lord, so God may just be simply using you to plant one seed in somebody's life that all women are not the same. All white people not the same. All black people not the same. Here's a big one. All men are not the same. Some people really do care. Some people that go to church really ain't stuck up. So God may be using you to just simply bust up that wall with that seed, and is it going to eventually lead to somebody else coming into their life being able to water? What do I mean water it? They'll be able to build off of that. Now somebody who they normally would not receive from, they're going to receive it because God used you to break it down, break down that barrier. So that's why I said it's not important that we are a large congregation. It's more important that we're large on the inside. We have the capacity for more. Thank you, Lord. So here in this moment right now, come on, just join in with me and let's make this dedication to the Lord as a church family and as an individual. Just say that to the Lord. Lord, I commit my heart to you, my life to you. Lord, use me the way that you want to. Some of you have always felt like, well, I don't want to, you know, I can't really get into no debates with people because I don't know the Bible all that well and I don't know scripture all that well to be able to battle with people. And God don't even want you to get into all of that. But there are some things that you are really good at doing as far as just expressing love and concern. So do that. Do that. Thank you, Lord. There are little things that you... they come to your heart and mind all the time anyway. You know it does. So go ahead and just do those little things. That grumpy person that comes into work every single day and don't hardly nobody speak to them. And there have been times when you felt like being nice to them. You felt like, let me be the one to go ahead and say hi. Well, no. Well, no, go ahead and break past that and go ahead and you speak to them. Even that supervisor, like what I had, that is out to get you. This woman was trying to get me fired. But seize the moments that God's going to give you to express his love to them. Without you even saying anything about hell, heaven, Jesus, nothing. Just be the gospel right now. If I was to give this talk a title, if that would be it, let's be the gospel. Let's be it. Let's be the good news. Thank you, Lord. So just make that commitment. Lord, I'll represent you. He already knows that you don't have it all together. He knows that you still got faults and flaws and things that you're working through. But just make that declaration today. Make that commitment. Lord, help me to just be. To be a person that can show how much I care. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you... I don't know why you set up this moment. It wasn't even in the plans, but I thank you, Lord, for setting up this moment for our church family to step into this role that you have for us here in Harrisburg. Evidently, this is one of the gates for us. You want some people that are just going to represent you in real practical ways. So we say yes, Lord. We may not be the most dynamic and spectacular bunch of people, but Lord, we can be faithful in that. We can be real on our jobs, in our homes, in our families, at school. We can be real. And that's what we're going to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand today. Thank you, Lord.